So tacos are ready at 12:30. That's our quitting time.
You're the only thing between us and tacos.
That's not good. That's a little dangerous. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about clever words this morning. I see more and more, I'm in these leadership circles, and I continue to get invitations and books and notices about books and book reviews, and nearly all of them have to do with saying what you know in a smarter way or in a slicker way. It's all about presentation, it seems. So present it better, say it better, make it tighter, make it slicker, do whatever you're going to do, but that's the talk. And how am I going to be a better leader in the process? So we end up with an overabundance of clever words and clever people teaching us about clever words. That's what we hear. And that's the, so now, and then if it's not that, it's how to package the words in little media bites for the social networks so more people can be impressed with your clever words. So I look at people on Twitter, and I know that at least half of them are trying to think up clever words with their, 40 characters? 140 characters. Trying to think up clever words to put in their 140 characters so we can be impressed with how clever they were in 140 characters. But God is not speaking to me about those things. He's speaking to me about a need for a demonstration of power. And I want to get to the scripture in 1 minute. First, a word for Charlotte. Would you stand up? What God says, my daughter, I commission you to speak my prophetic word. I commission you to go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies and to begin to hear the word and speak the word that cannot be obtained by your own means, by your own mind, or by what you read or by what you see, but rather by the Holy Spirit. God is going to use you to pierce the veil for many people so that they can see that God is real. And God has called you to be a messenger of the reality of God. It is a call on you. He has opened your ears and He's opened your eyes. And today He opens your mouth. In the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Okay. So Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One, the world does not need a complicated theology presented to it. Let me say that again. The world does not need a complicated theology presented to it. Paul said, I went to you. Listen, Corinthians, I went to you and I decided, I can see him deciding on the way. I'm just going to preach Jesus and the cross. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to get into anything else. That's all I'm going to do. So listen, the first thing is, if you think to be a sufficient, competent, good Christian who can help conquer the world, that you need all these books and big things of theology and complicated stuff and make complicated reasoning, listen to Paul. You've got to know Jesus. If you're going to proclaim Jesus, you have to know Him. Once you know Him, you talk about Him and the fact that He died on the cross, that it pleased the Father to send Him there. You start with that, and the world becomes open to you. Okay? And our task is essential. That is, and that word essential simply means God is boiling things down for us, folks. If you're not aware of the things, of the pressures of our culture now, all the things going on, what bathroom you use, all this other stuff is going on. But what God is doing for you is He's boiling things down to the essential. You've got to know who you are. I was reading, and I told God, I'm not going to preach on this today. I'm not. But I was reading about Mordecai in the book of Esther. And they passed a law that you had to bow down to Haman, who was the king's number one guy. So he would prance around town, and everybody, it was a law you had to bow down to him. Oh, Haman. But God had told the Jews, don't bow down to any man. He told them. So Mordecai knows he's got the essentials from God in his heart and in his mind. He knows, well, I can do this, I can do that. I can wave at him. I can obey him because he's got the king's ring in his hand. I can obey him, but I ain't going to bow down to him because my God told me I couldn't. So you've got to have the essentials of what it means to be a Christian boiled down inside of you until you understand what you can and can't do. All right. So Paul knows he's got this, God has boiled him down. On the way to Corinth, God boiled him down. Jesus and him crucified. That's right, Paul. That's right, Paul. You got it? You got it. Make that your conversation everywhere you go. You got it? Make it your conversation. So, I'm not going to preach on current events. I'm not going to do it. These troubling days demand a focus, folks. I've got a word for this couple right here. Yeah, you guys married? Yeah. Wonderful. You did a good job when you did. Way to go. Would you guys stand up? Do you need a translator? Can you understand English okay? You want a translator? All right, we'll be fine. Who can do it? Somebody. Okay, great. All right, we're going to translate because I want you to get the full thing, and they're going to record this. You can get a tape of this too. Okay. All right, God has called you to be here. God has broken your heart for people. It's already a shepherd's heart inside of you, a heart of tenderness. And you've already somehow crossed the line where you would give your life for other people. You would lay down your life. You would step in front of the bullet. You would do what had to be done. You decided that. You're way on the other side. So you're not a youngster trying to decide who you are. God has shown you. And there's a prayer burden that comes on you for people. And it's not like a burden with a lot of big praying up here. It's the same. It's like a thing down your heart. God. So there's a wrench, there's a pulling inside of you. You're called to be here. And you're called to influence and impact people in the United States. God says, speak the word. Teach the word. Demonstrate the word. He's going to use you. And sister, there's a prophetic call on your life to hear God and to speak for God. You've been silent and you haven't felt like you were worthy to say anything. But God has died. God shed his blood for you. And he, not only that, but he has opened your eyes and you see things. You see things quickly. You comprehend things. You can walk into a room with people and you just comprehend the spiritual condition of their hearts. You're hearing. And God says, this is the day when he says you're to begin to speak. And he's going to use your words to declare the way of life. The way of life, the royal road. It's a declaration of the royal road. And he's going to put in your way many people who need this declaration. This is the way to go. This is life. This is life. This is life. This is life. He's going to use you to. There's financial provision coming for everything you need to do. You've got ideas. One of these is that God's going to give you a bigger place. You're supposed to have visitors come stay with you. I'm going to give you a bigger place with an extra bedroom. So look for that and believe for it, because it's going to happen. Good? Is it good? Come in. Bien. Thank you. Thank you for the interpretation. I appreciate that. Okay, so and then this goes on, 1 Corinthians 2:3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. All right, so I want to say this to you. Your strength is not needed by God. So why don't we practice this? Here's the phrase I want you to say. Would you come up here, the translator? Yeah, come on up here 1 second. Just come up here. In English, my strength is not needed by God. So English speakers, practice that. My strength is not needed by God. Okay, would you translate that into Spanish? Okay, my strength is not needed by God.
Mi fuerza no es necesitada.
Okay, say it to them.
Mi fuerza no es necesitada.
Okay, so y'all practice that.
Necesitan practicar eso. Mi fuerza no es necesitada por Dios.
Okay, all right. Now, we're going to all say it together.
Lo vamos a decir todos juntos.
My strength is not needed by God.
Por Dios.
My strength is not needed by God. My strength is not needed by God. Okay, thank you. I think you need to stay right down there. Okay, so Paul was in weakness. We don't know what kind of weakness he was in. We don't know if he had diarrhea the whole time he was there. That could have been it. We don't know if we don't know what the fear was about. My wife recently, we were doing a conference in Kentucky for my disciples, and remind me to talk about that before I quit. You need to remind me. The thing I'm doing. And she was so sick, and was supposed to speak on Saturday morning, and she was got up and just all sick, and her medicine was all whoppy joe. And you ought to get, can you translate whoppy joe? So she got up and she said, "Well, I'm going to go speak. I'm supposed to speak this morning." Michael's going, "What do I do? I'm supposed to go speak." So I tell you what, I'm going to go speak. And either I'm going to speak or I'm going to throw up in front of them. So she came to speak in fear and trembling and weakness. And God does not need you in your strength or in your great wisdom. And so even in your fear and in your trembling and your weakness, God is calling you to release a demonstration of His power. Okay? All right. But it came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And this demonstration of the Spirit and of power shows that the kingdom of God has come. This is what Jesus did when He came and started ministering. He started doing signs and wonders. He started violating the natural laws of the earth and the universe. He came and began to violate the natural laws of the earth and the universe. And He did this to demonstrate that the kingdom of God had come, meaning that the power of the kingdom of God would overrule and overcome the power of the world. That what was not seen was more powerful than what we do see. Okay? All right, and that this supernatural realm controls the natural realm. so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Cool? All right. George, can I give a word to you? Would you stand up, please? George, God says to you that in the coming days, He's going to be able to open curtains. There, I see people all around you that have curtains closed, like they're hiding what's inside. And I see God just letting you walk up, just nice George, not Detective George. Just nice, George. And curtains opening. And you're going to be able to see right inside the heart of people. And this is, He's calling you in this time to an effectiveness, a depth or a level of effectiveness you've never seen in pastoring and shepherding and eldering. A new time. So somewhere inside, you're going to have to shift a gear. We get used to the level of power we've seen or the level of authority we've seen. We get used to it. God's saying He's about to change the level of authority you've got, and you need to shift gears somehow and go into a higher gear because there's going to be more authority. God's also going to have you speak with authority and settle things. Somehow you're going to settle human affairs. I'm not sure what that means, but you're going to find yourself settling human affairs, and people are going to listen to you, George. People are going to listen to you, brother. I know. That's going to happen. So they were applauding because people are going to listen to you now. All right. So, listen, The world is not going to be convinced or convicted by reason, but by power. I'm going to tell you. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. You hear that? That's what it says. I mean, that's really a scripture. The 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And Romans 15:18-19. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Well, I was ministering to a group in a church in New York State who were setting up a deliverance and healing ministry for the church. So I asked, I'm meeting on a Saturday, I said, so tell me, I want to get some talk going about miracles. Tell me about the miracles you've seen. And there were about 10 of them, not a single hand went up. They had not seen any miracles. So I began to challenge them that if you want to move in prayer and in deliverance and in miracles, the first thing you do is you say, God, give me miracles. I need to move in the thing I want to see the church moving in. This is a family back here, the lady in the red coat, right here, the guy in the blue shirt. You guys a family? These your children? Oh, great. We need to... I need to give you part of my honorarium check. Would you guys stand up? Hey, I'm Michael.
Michael.
Santa. Okay. I didn't get the... Sandra. Okay. Thank you. She knows that you have to put an "eh" in there for Southern Americans to understand. And Sandra. Okay. It's what God says. My son, I've called you to be a man to help people build. To help people put things up and hold things up. And you've already known that God has called you to work hard. And you go, "Thank you, God, I'm working hard." But he's called you to help people put things up.
Para poner cosas delante.
And there's a call on you to help build this church. That in the coming days you're going to have God, more and more God is going to speak to you about the things that need to be done.
Dios te va a llamar de las cosas que necesitan estar.
Practical things, cosas things that need to be done.
Y cosas que tienen que hacerse.
And you always know, there's always a list of things that you know
de cosas que tú sabes
needs to be done.
Que tiene que hacerse.
I may walk in a building and not see what needs to be done.
Quizás yo camino un edificio y no sé qué hacer.
But you walk in a place and you know
pero
what needs to be done.
En un lugar y tú lo vas a saber.
So this is your time.
Este es tu tiempo.
This is real stuff, and God's going to
este
use
es real,
you.
Y Dios te va a usar.
Second, there are people that are looking at you.
Segundo, hay personas mirándote.
Who are following what you
que
do.
Te están siguiendo.
I don't. You may not be aware of it, but
there
are people that look at what you do and then they go do the same thing.
Pero te ven a hacer lo que estás haciendo y van a hacer lo mismo que tú vas a hacer.
So you're already discipling people, even if you don't know it.
Tú estás discipulando a las personas y aún no lo sabes.
So this is also going to be an important time to let the Word of God, the Scripture, be real in you.
Esto es importante porque la palabra de Dios sea real en su vida.
And as the Scripture is real, to begin to teach it to other
y las
people.
Escrituras van a empezar a enseñar a otras personas.
And if you guys are not doing it, a little group in your home would
y si
be a
no
really
están
good
haciendo
idea.
Un grupo en su casa sería una buena idea.
Invite people in for coffee.
Invitar a las personas para café.
Tres leches.
Tres leches.
No. None of that.
No.
No, just the coffee.
Solo café.
And we don't need the other stuff.
Y no necesitamos las otras cosas.
And the scripture. And maybe a little worship.
Y quizás una alabanza.
Do you sing, play guitar, or do anything?
¿Tú cantas o tocas?
No? Do you?
He says that he likes to play the battery.
Okay. All right.
The trumpet?
Drums. We need drums.
Drums.
Well, that worship. I just see you in your home worship, and inviting people in, and a few minutes teaching the scripture, and feeding them some food and some coffee, good coffee, and strong coffee. Strong coffee will get people saved, I think. So that there's a call on your home, and sister, there's a real gift on you to understand how to make people feel comfortable. It's a gift of hospitality. And in this country, people need to be made to feel comfortable at home, home away from home. And people are going to come to your home. They're going to come to the two of you. You're going to make them feel welcome. That they have a purpose and a place to come. Someone to call when they're in trouble. You need to expect, brother, calls in the middle of the night from people who are in trouble. God says, go help them. Okay? Amen. Thank you. We're doing okay, me and the translator. Okay, First Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Okay. What Paul's been saying is God had boiled down the message that he was to give. Jesus and him crucified. And then he says, This thing came with a demonstration of power, meaning you saw who I am. You saw through me that the way into heaven is open, that you're not limited, that this is not about how strong you are, how smart you are, that heaven is open because of who he is. And Paul said over and over again, and I don't see this in leadership. I do here. But in a lot of places, I don't see anyone standing up and talking about the weakness they've had, the diarrhea they were experiencing all week. They don't do that. Next scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. It's a key scripture in my life. Key scripture in Gloria's life. You're nothing but a jar of clay. Your worth is not determined by the clay, the dirt used to make you. Your worth is determined by what was poured into the jar, which is the Holy Spirit. You got me? So your humanness. Okay, what this means is, if somebody knows Michael and they see me stand up and prophesy something that I couldn't know, had no device, no way to understand, and I stand up and prophesy, but they know me. They've been fishing with me. They were there on the trip when I got diarrhea. And they realize, wait a minute, if God can use Michael Cotton, who's just a jar of clay, he can use me. Does that make sense? So your humanness proves a necessary point. Your humanness proves a necessary point. You do not have to be strong to move in power and in spirit. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And last, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So here's the end of it. We're called to bring Christ to this world, and you're called to do it with power. And what you've seen as your weakness, that you're not perfect, that you're not some great man or woman of faith, that you haven't got this much of a theological degree, that you're tired, that you get diarrhea, that your back hurts, that you're fearful, that you're in fear and trembling. All of these things have said to you, well, he can move in power, she can move in power, but I can't do this. I cannot see signs and wonders and miracles. God's not going to do that for me because of my long list of weaknesses and fears and failures and injuries. Paul says, wait a minute, I came to you in all of those things and was transparent enough to demonstrate it to you. But God proved his point with power. Everyone in this room is called to move in the power of God. Everyone in this room, whatever your weakness is, it is not a bar to moving in the power of God. Amen? Okay. Gloria, I had a trip to Ethiopia one time, and before, when I was walking out the door, Gloria said, "Oh, Michael, God spoke to me, 2 Corinthians 12:9. She wrote down a piece of paper. I don't know what it is, but here. I read it on the plane, and it was this one. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I went, oh, okay, that's nice. Stuck it in my Bible, went on to Ethiopia. I want you to know I didn't sleep for 4 nights. I was ministering all over the city, then way down in the country. I didn't sleep. I had insomnia, the worst insomnia. It shocked me. Staying asleep all night and getting up and having to go for 12 hours and minister and preach, and then no sleep the next night. And after about the third night, I pulled that scripture out of the little note out, and I'm just saying, thank you, Gloria. But you know what? God showed me in the midst of terrific weakness that caused me by the fourth day to tremble the whole day. I was like this. I was prophesying all over southern Ethiopia and prophesying in dangerous places, and God just speaking and speaking and people being saved and healed and demons cast out and all the rest. And I'm up there just absolutely with the shakes like this and my sugar all messed up and my stomach just in knots. And in your worst day, I want to tell you something, in your worst day, in your weakest day, in your sickest day, in the day when you're most full of fear, the power of a God is available to you to move and to demonstrate Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our call. Listen, forget about the politics. You will not influence this country and the future of us through the politics. But in your weakness, a little demonstration of power will show the nation who God is. And they will turn to God. They will turn to Christ by the thousands and by the millions. Understand? Got time for one more? No? Oh, okay. I'm going to start. God told me to start a prophetic discipleship group in the Durham area. And what this means is that once a month I'll come up here and spend all day Saturday with people that want to be discipled. It is not a program. It is not a program with an end. It's a discipleship relationship. I'll give you my phone numbers. I'll make myself available. Every place that I've done this, in the Carolinas, in Fayetteville, in South Carolina, and in New York State, and in Indiana, and in Clarksville, Tennessee, prophets have been raised up all over the place because someone took the time to stay with them for more than one class setting. So if you want to pursue being discipled by me, it's mostly prophetic, but I'm me, so there's more involved in that. You need to let me know. In fact, Gloria, wave that thing. Print your email very carefully. I do not have the gift of interpretation of bad handwriting. Print your email. I will send you an application, and it's going to cost you money because I don't take up an offering, but my disciples take up an offering every time. Out of state, they pay for my flight. Plus, they give me an offer. Offering for an honorarium. So this is not a free thing. This will cost you because discipleship will cost me and it should cost you. But if you're interested, write your name down. And I'll form the group by the end of the week. I have really 5 slots left. I've already got 10 that I know I'm going to take. I got 5 slots left. I will not take more than 15. Jesus discipled 12, so I figured I could do 15. Right. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry, God. All right. Wow. I got one more word. I got time for one prophetic word. Who was it got their degree? In the yellow shirt. Would you stand up, sir? Hey, was this in your class, in one of your classes, that there's such a thing as prophecy in your stuff? Similar. Okay, you already so good. Yeah, that's who I am. That's in the foundation. Listen, I see you like an umpire in a baseball, and you're the home plate umpire, and you got that little dandy little brush in your hand, and you're brushing off the base. You're going to make clear what home base is for a lot of people. It's obscured. That's just trash over God's home base. And you're going to clear away, you're going to brush away the trash over and over and over again. And it's a little legalistic because the umpire's kind of a legalistic guy. He knows the rules better than anybody else. But what he really does is he removes obscurity. And God's going to use you for this. You're going to be working hard. I see you in your gear and bent over. You're working hard. I just pray over your body that your body would be strong, that you'd have no back trouble, that you'd be able to do everything you're supposed to be doing and go where you're supposed to be doing and fit on small airplanes and big airplanes and in bad cars and eat bad food. but that you would make the thing clear. And God says, don't be afraid to speak the truth, just like the umpire. Speak it quick and speak it with authority. You know how they practice safe. I made you jump. Safe. They practice having authority and clarity. And don't be apologetic. Whatever that is, don't be apologetic. You need to trust the gift of God that's in you, brother. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, good. All right. Your strength is not necessary to move in the power of God. Won't you say it with me? My strength is not necessary to move in the power of God. Thank you.